work out our leg muscles a little bit here before we sit again. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Let's pray this morning. Brother Mike Freimeyer, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We talked just a little bit about this last week. We're going to get into this a little bit more today. But if you look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For the word of God is quick." Now, that does not mean fast. That does not mean running very fast. That means quick as in alive, okay? Now, you might say, well, Brother Dave, how in the world can ink on paper in a book form, how can that be alive? The answer is simply this: I have no idea. But God has made it that way. And understand, you've got to separate something in your life. You've got to separate what man can do with this word and what God has done with this word. You've got to come to that. You've got to come to a point where you decide, I'm going to take man's hands off of this Bible and I'm going to put God's hands on it, and that's the only hands that are going to be on it. Because if you put man and the scriptures together, you cannot put corrupt with the incorrupt and have incorrupt. You're going to have corrupt every time. But if you leave God with it and let God be the one that's over top, let God be the one that makes it alive, it's very simple to see that God can do that very thing. How does that happen? You know what? Again, don't put God in a test tube where we can try to figure out how God does things. I don't know. But I do know this: in the last week, with several different people and I, we got to go out and talk to people about the Lord. And we got to lead them to a place where they accepted Him as Savior. That is a quick and alive book that we introduced to them. Quick and alive verses that we showed them to help them to become quick and alive spiritually. Amen? If you use a dead book to try to make somebody quick and alive, what's going to happen? Nothing. They're going to stay just like they are. But if you introduce them to a quick, an alive book, if you introduce them to that book, the one that can save, if you introduce them to that one, the law of liberty that converts the soul has to be perfect. If you introduce them to that one, they become alive. How does that happen? We have no idea, but God does, and that's the only one that matters to have that idea. Turn to Psalm chapter 119 and verse 50, please. Psalm chapter 119 and verse 50. I love this entire chapter. It deals almost solely with the scriptures. I'm so thankful that the longest chapter in the Bible deals specifically with His Bible. If you look at verse 49, "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." Now, hey, we go through things every single day. We go through problems every single day. Understand this. You can hang on to this passage. "This is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Thy word hath brought me back to life. Thy word has shown me things that no other man can show. Thy word is what's been put into my heart, and because of those things, it's become alive to me. It's become something special to me." What's the matter with us today is we let that thing sit home and collect dust. We let that thing sit home and not open and not peruse it, not go through God's love letter to us. We don't worry about that, because you know what? We hear enough in church. We see enough on the programs that we watch. That is all hogwash today, folks. We've got to get in the scripture and let it become alive to you. I showed a scripture to my 90-year-old grandfather that said, "Man, I've never seen that before." There's a reason that you've never seen it, because you've never read it. We talk about it all the time. Well, you ought to read your Bible. You ought to read your Bible. Folks, let me tell you, don't read your Bible because you've been asked to by your pastor. Don't read your Bible because I think you should. Read your Bible because you want to. My question is, why don't you want to read it? Why is that not the first thing we pick up in the morning? You'd rather pick up the Sunday paper. You'd rather pick up... Good night. You ever read the paper? No wonder you're depressed. Man, get into the scriptures a little bit. These babies are alive today. Still alive. Still alive. You get into them, I promise you, the Lord will help you through some things. You get to see people. I had a fellow talk to me and say, well, bless God, I've sinned too much to be saved. Really? Is that true? You ever killed a man? Have you ever killed a man? He says, no, I've never killed a man. No. I said, would you say Moses is in heaven today? He said, well, yeah, I suppose. Moses killed a man. I got to believe that he did worse than you. Hey, let me tell you something, folks. This word will help unlock things for you. I'm not talking about in the spookiness. Get out of that. I don't want you to go charismatic. But understand, this word is alive today. And you've got to come to grips with what your Bible means to you. What and when I say that, it could be good or bad. What does your Bible mean to you? To me, it means everything. Everything we get comes specifically from here. Everything we get, the word, the Lord spoke and it was. There was no difference between it. How do we know that? Because we looked in His Bible. We get saved because of His Word. We have faith because of His Word. We're able to do things because of His Word. We realize we're more than conquerors because of His Word. Everything revolves around His Word. I told you this last week. The only reason gold is precious is because the Bible says it is. What does your Bible mean to you? Does it mean more than just folding it up and bringing it to church on Sundays? Does it mean more than just 5 minutes during the daytime? And hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with just 5 minutes of Bible reading, but did you just read your Bible to get through it? Or did you read your Bible for a purpose in that 5 minutes? For a purpose, praying that the Lord will give you a blessing from His Word that day. You'll never know how many times preachers have made the statement from the pulpit, man, I've read that 100 times, but it gave me something brand new today. You know why? Because it's alive. You can't figure it out. It's alive. Do you know 7 times in Psalms alone, 7 times it talks about the Word being quicker, the Word quickening you. We can't figure this old Word out. Don't try to figure it. Just believe that it is. Just believe in it. That's all you've got to do is believe in it. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. I love this scripture because the Bible separates man from itself. I love this. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory. Man, he didn't even pick out weed or rose or bush, herb, tree. No, we're grass. That's all we get to be is grass. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. And the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Well, you look at this verse, it doesn't really give you that much to offer, does it? It really doesn't say that much about man, does it? It kind of separates itself, though. It says, but. But the word of the Lord endureth for next week. But the word of the Lord endureth until we can't understand it anymore. And we need somebody like Falwell to come along to give us a new one. Brother Dave, you calling out names again, man. I wish I could call out all the names I want to call out. Let me explain something to you, folks. You've got to separate, and I can't say this enough. You've got to separate man from God's word. You got to separate that. Don't let anybody come along and say, I'm smarter than you. This is what the word of God really is. Let me explain something to you. The word of God is quick. It's alive and powerful. You don't tell man, well, I'm going to do this to the Bible to make it better. Hogwash. God gave us a perfect one. You hang with this one right here. He gave you a perfect Bible, a perfect Bible, a perfect Bible. He didn't give you one that needed correction. He didn't give you one that needed addition. He didn't give you one that needed subtraction. He gave you one that needed your belief. That's all it needs is your belief. Well, Brother Dave, I don't believe in the Bible. Well, we got nothing to talk about. Hey, that's the way it is. If you don't believe the Bible, there's no way you can go to heaven. No way. No way. Hey, how in the world are you going to believe about heaven and not believe about the Bible that it's written in? You can't do both. I love these important, very gracious and wonderful leaders and perfect preachers that are out there and smart theologians that say, well, bless God, your Bible isn't all it's cracked up to be. I love the fact that they speak things and sound smart to you. Can I help you today? And I've made this statement a lot. Be dumb about the Bible.
Amen.
You go, well, Brother Dave, you want us to be dumb? I can't be dumb. You need to be dumb about this. Just accept that it is. Just accept that it is the Word of God. Just accept that it is perfect, infallible, inerrant, inspired, wonderful, preserved. Just respect God enough that He can. We went over Psalms 12, 6, and 7 last week. The Word of the Lord is pure. We learned that the Word of the Lord is preserved. The Word of the Lord is kept. In the Word of the Lord, all those things are kept and preserved and held by Him. Not us. Not us. We talk all the time. Well, bless God. Thank you so much for the people that gave their lives. And I've said this over and over, but you got to get this into your hearts, folks. I understand that the men gave their lives. I understand that they lost their lives and shed their blood. I understand that they knew exactly what was going on here and they realized the gravity of the situation. But understand, God had His hand on this. God preserved it. God kept it. We had nothing to do with it. And He still kept a hold of it. And He still preserved it. And our kids, as kids, as kids, as if we're around that long, we'll still have a word because of God. When you care enough to send the very best, you don't send Hallmark, you send the King James. Turn to John chapter 6. Brother Dave, if you'd show me just one more verse, I might believe. Just one more. I'm not exactly sure what you're trying to tell me about this word being alive. That's where the whole inspired thought comes from, folks. I hope you grab a hold of that. The inspired thought comes from it being alive. Being with the Spirit in it. Inspired, okay? That's where it comes from. Look at this verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth what? The Bible, again, pulls itself away from man here. Please understand that the Bible, the Scriptures are pulling themselves away from man's help. The Scriptures are pulling themselves away. How is this possible? You know that corrupt man had wrote it. You know that corrupt man had brought it forth. You know that corrupt man had hid it. And you know that corrupt man had helped. No, corrupt man was there, but God had done it through them. See, when you start to couple man and God with His Word together, you come up with corrupt. You can't come up any other way. So you've got to separate them. You've got to break them apart. And the Bible does this. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Let me explain something to you. You can go door to door and knock on every door. Please, you need to go door to door and knock on doors. You do. And you can go door to door and knock on every door and give them the doctrine of Jehovah's Witnesses, and your flesh profited nothing. You're still going door to door. You're still visiting. You're still saying words. But it's the Spirit that quickeneth. You've got to let God speak through you.
Amen.
You've got to let God do things that you cannot do. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words. Words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit. And they are life. Hey, wait a minute now. Wait a minute now. That just puts your Bible into a whole different ball game. That puts your Bible into the place where it is alive. Because the words that were spoken are Spirit and they are life. That puts it into a whole different perspective. And understand this is what's phenomenal about the Bible, the Lord. It doesn't matter. And I talked to a person about this, told him, hey, look, we are all sinners. That puts us all in the same playing field. Listen to me. Listen, boy, you hate this. I told a fella, hey, listen, you can't do bad enough. Understand this. You and Charles Manson, you know who that is, right? That crazy nut job that's put away. You know him? Should have been killed a long time ago. that person is on the same playing field as you and I. He's a sinner, you're a sinner. No difference between us. A lot of people would love to put a difference between you and the next person. A lot of people would love to feel better about themselves. I'm better inside than you are. That's all hogwash. You know that, right? The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That puts you all in a specific spot with me. We're all sinners. We all start here. And what's great is the Word of God is good for all. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, where you've been, where you're going. It is good for you. It speaks to you. It's alive for you. No matter where you've been, if you're not saved in here today, that Word of God means just as much to you as anybody else, all the way through the ages. It calls to you. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. In verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Now, I know that Jesus has tremendous foreknowledge. It's something that we can't explain. And I'm glad we can't explain God. If we could explain God, he'd be a pretty small God. But one thing you've got to separate, again, is foreknowledge and what you know. You don't know anything about the soul inside of a person. There's people that you've looked at before, I guarantee you, they'd never be saved. Man, that person could never be saved. I'm not going to go up to that door because that person could never be saved. Good Lord, all the things that they've done in their life, there's no way that person could be saved. Get this now. Jesus might know who's going to be saved and who's not, but you don't. And you need to tell everybody. You need to tell everybody about him, no matter what they look like or where they've been from. I love the folks that go to the rich neighborhoods and knock on doors, but won't go to the other ones. See, what you got to understand is this: there's people all over that need the Lord. No matter who you're, where you are, where you're from, they need the Lord. And I went with Brother Coolidge, and I'm telling you right now, it was one of the nicest trips. Honestly, there wasn't one door slam in our face. There wasn't anything. It was the first day we went out, we had a door slam in our face. It was God's sense of humor, I believe. 2 months of slamming on doors, Coolidge starts laughing right on the porch after the door slammed. They wouldn't come to the door. He starts laughing at me. Be quiet, Coolidge. We go into this neighborhood, and neighborhood's behind Robinson Memorial Hospital, some McElrath addition or whatever that is. To my knowledge, we've never been in there before. We may have, but to my knowledge, we've never been in there before. And in the second door or third door we knocked on, Brother Kendrick, who is a pastor that is back in there, his son comes out. We start talking to him. He's barbecuing. Man, it smelled so good, too. We almost stopped visitation right there. We really did. We really did. You come up with some sausages, brother, and we got us a hoopty. Anyway, so he starts talking to us a little bit, and we start walking out the driveway. And he says to us on the way out the driveway, he says, "Hey, you fellas know you're in the hood, right?" I look back, and I couldn't believe he said that. He says, "You're in the hood, you know that." And I said, "We're not allowed to be here?" And he says, "Well, yeah, you're allowed to be here. I just want you to know that you are in the hood, and you look like cops." But listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. And we did, by the way, look like police after we thought about it. But listen to me. We went from door to door in that place. More doors opened up for us. More people talked to us. And at the end of the day, Coolidge got to witness to a man real long. He didn't get saved, but he got to witness to him. And we won a little girl to the Lord. 14-year-old girl. Now understand, and this, please. Hey, I just started soul winning 2 weeks ago. I'm excited. You're going to have to bear with me for a while because I'm excited about soul winning. I don't care what you think about me now. I'm excited. Amen. And that little girl kicked up to the door and said, "Are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven?" She says, "No, I'm really not." Amen. I'm glad you're, I wish you were, but I'm glad you're not. So we got to talk to her. Dad come to the door. No joke. He was that big. Real big fella. Comes to the door and said, "Hello, sir. Can I talk to your daughter about the Lord?" He was on, "Sure, go right ahead." Walked away. Amen. See, but what's funny is we would worry about going into a place like that because we're worried in our own efforts and in our own flesh. How in the world could we be successful?
you, I promise you, God will profit you some way, because it's the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that gives life. It's the Spirit of these words that won that girl to the Lord that day. You go in your own power, that's what's going to happen. What's funny is the JWs were through right before we were. It had to be real, because everybody said, well, are you Jehovah's Witnesses? Because if you're a Jehovah's Witness, I'm going to tell you, turn around and walk right out. I said, hey, Brother Coolidge said, boy, that's a good idea. You should ask them to turn around and walk right out. I said, no, ma'am, I'm a Baptist preacher. She says, wow. And she said, made some kind of statement, we haven't had anybody back here in a long time. God help us. God help us. Brother Phil has had lawn accounts back there. He can't wait to go back there. And then one fellow that we talked to said, hey, don't go one street over. So what'd Coolidge do right away? He is so ornery. He drove his car one street over and went up and down the street. Yeah, who we got in here? I'm sitting there going. Back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. Look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91. We got time. I'm going to show you something else. That's good, though. Read that when you get a chance, because that's the other side. That's another one of the examples. I want to show you something else. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Hey, I get excited about the Bible. I like this example a little bit better than the other one, although that one's a good one. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis is right in the front. I was saying that for the deacons. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. Now he's questioning God's word here. This is the first thing to instill doubt in the scriptures. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to instill doubt about your word. The word that you have, he wants to make you doubt what you have. Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, this is a bald-faced lie, ye shall not surely die. God said she was going to die. He says you're not going to die. It's a bald-faced lie. That's a bald-faced lie, right to you, a lie. But look at the next part. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat. Okay? Now understand, we've got one lie. I told you about that. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. That's the lie right there. That's one lie. But then look at the next. You've got a truth. For God doth know. That's a truth. Satan spoke about God saying, God doth know. He doth know. And what does he know? In the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open. And they were. Later on in the chapter, if you keep reading, it says that their eyes were open. Later on it says, and ye shall be as gods. That's a truth. Knowing good and evil, and that was a truth. So you had four truths wrapped around one lie, and she did eat. Now understand, the devil's not going to come to you with lie, 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 lie. He's not. He's subtle. He's more subtle than that. That's why people are carrying the NIV today. That's why people are carrying around every other version that you can think of but the King James, because he's wrapped one truth around lots of lies, and you do eat. Now look, the NIV, for example, is about a 63%. Okay, that's what I've heard. I've never tested it out. But I've heard it's about a 63% or so. I think that's giving it a lot of grace in the truth that it gives you, okay? All the rest is lie or twist or manipulates what God has said. If you don't think that these other versions are from the devil, you got another thing coming. Don't listen to me. Don't sit there and patty cake with it. Don't sit there and say it's okay. Don't sit there and say that it'll be all right. Don't say that. It's from the devil. It's the greatest deceit he has ever given God's people. The greatest deceit. There's never been one greater than taking away from God's word. It's what he started with. He's had it all ever since. And he's gotten good at it, let me tell you that. So he takes this one truth, and he gives you, or one lie, and he gives you four truths with it. One lie,
four truths, and she eats. 20% of what the devil said, 20% was lie. 80% was truth. 20% was lie. 80% was truth.
And I'm doing this off the cuff here. But turn over to John chapter 8.
One lie is all he told that day. One lie, four truths. 80% of what he said to Eve that day was truth. 80%. That's better than the other Bibles that are out there. It's better than the other versions. It's better. It's not, they're not even close to 80%. You can put the New King James in there if you want to. Everybody, that's the one that's been coming to me all the time. New King James, boy, it's close. New King James, look at John 3:16. Let me tell you something. If one punctuation mark is missing, it is wrong.
Well, Brother Dave, you're narrow-minded. Don't you ever threaten me with being narrow-minded. That's an insult to me, being narrow-minded. I'm only-minded. There's a huge difference. Look at John chapter 8, verse 44. Remember, one lie, four truths now. Four truths and one lie. Look at verse 44. It says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is what?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Now, wait a minute, Brother Dave. He said four truths and one lie, and Jesus comes and says, there is no truth in him.
That's right.
He used a truth wrapped up in a lie. Eve did eat. Adam did eat. We're in the position we're in today.
That's right.
Ye shall not surely die. You go in that chapter, preacher just read them not too long ago. Generation after generation after generation after generation after generation died. That was the gift that he gave that keeps on giving. People still die to this day, every single day. The wages of sin is death. And because Eve heard and believed what that serpent was telling, by the way, don't ever believe a snake. Good night. Why would you even talk to a snake? It'd be odd enough to have a snake talk to you, but why would you talk to it? Grab you a shovel and cut that thing's head off. Snakes are weird. I got people all the time, well, they eat a lot of rodents. I like to chop the rodents' heads off too, but I'm not going to have a snake come and talk to me. Those things are gross. Give you the willies. We see, and it's the same basic thing that they talk about in Psalm chapter 91. It talks about the devil perverted what God had said. And just to give you a quick smattering of what it says. He says, That Lord, if you jump off the pinnacle, surely the angels will catch you up and save you from busting your head on the concrete below. Just go ahead and do that, and it'll be taken care of. Because lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Lest at any time. Well, Psalm 91 doesn't say lest at any time. That's left out. Because there's a very specific thing that Jesus was supposed to do in his life. Do you know what that was? He was supposed to go to the cross for you and I.
Right.
That was his will. That was his father's will. That is what he was sent here to do. To be a sacrifice for you and for me. I heard the bell that time. A sacrifice for you and for me is what Jesus was supposed to be. That's what he came down here. Now let me ask you a question. If he jumps off the pinnacle that day, does he fulfill God's will?
No.
No, he doesn't. He jumps off that day. I believe he hits himself on the concrete, and I believe he dies right there because he gets himself outside of the will of God. See, the devil knew that. He said, well, hey, Jesus, listen. Jesus, if you just jump, I know that the angels out there, if you jump, they'll go ahead and save you because remember what it says over here in Psalms. And Jesus says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Amen.
He answers him with scripture over and over again. And then the devil ended up having to retreat. Let me explain something to you about this Bible. You handle it carelessly. Man has handled it carelessly. But showing the mercy of God, he still gives it to us every day. He still lets us have his word. He still lets us know more about him, even though we've handled it so carelessly. I challenge my King James students all the time not to argue. I don't want to make you argumentative. I really don't. But what I do want you to have deep down in your heart, and I want you all to have this too. You got to have in your heart, what does this book really mean to you?
You've got to have your own faith. You can't ride around on preacher's faith. You can't ride around on my faith. You can't ride around on Brother Coolidge's faith about this King James Bible. You've got to have that faith down in you. So when somebody else comes along and tries to toss you to and fro with a different wind of doctrine about your Bible, you can say, no, I'm anchored solely in the King James. I'm anchored solely in God's perfect word, because I know if I stray from it, I could stray from God.
Yes.
Even in the smallest detail, if you get somebody that says, King James, yeah, but, run away.
Yeah,
right. Run away. You know, I don't care what the next part of the conversation is. Yeah, King James, but. Don't even stay for that.
Right.
Because what's going to happen is it's going to develop doubt in your mind about God's word. Listen to me. If you study the history of this, do you know what it's going to do for you? It's going to raise doubt in your mind. Do you know why? Because the history was written by man. This
right.
is written by God.
Amen. Amen.
You study the history, you'll raise doubt. Well, bless God, if you go over the manuscripts, the received text, the majority text, 95% of those agree with what the King James Bible said. Well, 95% and 100.
Amen.
I don't want 95, I want 100.
Yes.
I believe what God said.
Yes.
God said to give me a perfect word. God said I need that perfect word to convert somebody to Him. God said I've got to have it to have life.
Yes.
I'll just go ahead and stick with this.
Yes.
So you got to remember, a lot of times you see the people will put forward that very, very knowledgeable and astute, and theologians have put together your new versions.
Yeah.
Very smart people. Very, very great, wonderful. I tell you what, I challenge you someday to try to go and look and see who wrote and who put together the NASB, New American Standard Version. I want you to see if you can find out who authored those. Do you realize that their names aren't written down? You know why? They knew that they were doing stupid. They knew that they were doing wrong. They knew that they were not in God's good graces by trying to rewrite His scripture into something that they thought was okay. Here's a litmus test for the scripture. Real simple. If you've got a Bible that has Jesus Christ as God, and you have a Bible that holds up God and holds down man, you probably got the right one. All the rest of them try to take down God and lift up man. Everyone.
That's right.
Everyone. Some Bibles will put Joseph as Jesus' daddy.
Yeah.
That's blasphemy.
Yes.
That's doctrinal, brother.
Yep.
Some people will say, well, Jesus was God's only son. Well, that's bad news for you, because we're sons of God once we're saved.
Yeah,
and if He's the only son, then where are we at? Well, that's just a small mistake. Well, that's big in my book.
Yeah. Amen.
That's a big mistake, because I am, by adoption, I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Yeah. Glory to God. I don't want to not be a son. I want to be a son.
Yeah,
I don't want to be the redheaded stepchild. I want to be the son. I'm going to tell you right now, mark it down. What's going to happen is this: if you have a heart change about this Bible, I guarantee you very, very soon it will be challenged.
Yes.
Well, that's the one thing I've noticed throughout all the time that I've taught King James, throughout all the people that have come to hear, immediately they're challenged. I challenge you to do this. I challenge you to put it in your heart, and no matter what, you're going to believe that it is the pure, perfect Word of God.
Yes.
Inspired, inerrant,
invisible.
Yes. If you can put that in your heart, never stray from it. Always, when you go in this Bible, you say, I know this is true. Let God be true and every man a liar.
Yes.
No matter what, let God be true and every man a liar. I'm a liar, I'll be a liar until I die. Let God be true and every man a liar. But God is always true and never a liar.
Yes.
And He cannot change. Man, that's so good.
Praise
Grab a hold of your King James and hold it. I told the King James class this last week, do you realize that this is a weapon sharper than any two-edged sword? The big problem with America today, brother, is nobody's picking up the weapon anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
The sword is no good if it's laying on the ground. The sword is no good if it's not being swung. A sword is no good if you're not saying charge. A sword is no good if you're not using it.
Right. Amen.
Yes.
Grab a hold of your sword today and hold it up high and say, I'm going to believe in this. Because that is from where all things stem.
That's
the
right.
truth of God.
Dear Jesus, help us today. Help us today to make strides towards your word. Help us today to realize that we've got your pure, perfect one in our hands, and no man, I don't care who they are, no man is going to take that away. Lord, help us to release ourselves from the thoughts that man had anything to do with it. Lord, help us to sell out to the fact that you gave us your word. Lord, thank you so much. for your words being pure. Lord, thank you so much for keeping your words and preserving them from this generation forever. Lord, thank you for that. And Lord, let us sell out to you. Lord, let us go soul winning. Let us go out and tell people about this wonderful word, because this word is spirit and this word is life. Lord, help us to introduce life to the people that need life. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.